and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the earnings conference call for Q4 and FY26 for EMS Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in listen-only mode and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the management discussion concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star and zero on your touch-tone phone. EMS Limited was incorporated in 2010 by Mr. Ram V. Singh and Mr. Ashish Tomar and is involved in the business of sewerage solution providers, water supply system, water and water waste treatment plants, electrical transmission and distribution, road and allied works, operation and maintenance of waste water scheme projects and water supply scheme project for government authorities. Let us now begin with the introduction of the management. We have with us today Mr. Ashish Tomar, promoter and managing director of the company. Also joining us today is Mr. H.K. Kansal, chief executive officer. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Ashish Tomar, promoter and managing director, to give his opening remarks. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Yes. Good afternoon, and thank you all for joining EMS Limited's earning call today. I am Ashish Tomar, and I'll be opening today's call. I want to begin by acknowledging the hard work of our teams and the patience of our investors and partners. We know this quarter's results are disappointing, and we take full responsibility for keeping you informed and accountable. The shortfall this quarter was driven largely by factors outside our direct control. Several of our projects were delayed because required government permissions were not granted in time, and a prolonged cash flow constraint on the government side has delayed payments to contractors, including us. These issues constrained our ability to operate at planned capacity and materially impacted revenue and margins. While these are external challenges, we have already taken concrete steps to mitigate the impact and strengthen our resilience. Intensifying engagement with relevant government stakeholders to expedite permissions and payments, reinforcing our working capital management and contingency planning to reduce vulnerability to counterparty delays, reprioritizing projects and controlling discretionary spending to focus on high-value, lower-risk work streams, and preparing clear milestones and metrics so we can demonstrate progress and restore confidence. Mr. H.K. Kansal, our CEO, will now walk through the quarter's financial results in detail and explain which projects and regions were affected and outline the specific actions and timelines we are committing to. After these remarks, we will open the call for questions. Thank you for your continued interest and for joining us today. I'll now turn over the call to Mr. H.K. Kansal.
Yeah, I am H.K. Kansal, CEO of the company. As Mr. Ashish told, that the results are not in the line of expectation and somewhat disappointing to the investors and to us also. But that is not due to any sudden drop in strategy of the management. It was just a, you know, there are certain reasons which I would like to draw attention of you that the results looks like falling that much. So first of all, I will come to the results. FY26 quarter four, as the total revenue is 84 as a standalone of EMS Limited, and consolidated revenue is 120. And that is a very significant fall from the last year's similar period. And FY26 as a whole year, the standalone revenue is 608 crore and consolidated is 732 crore. This is again about 36-37% fall from the last year due to the major contribution comes from the Q4 revenue. So the main reasons for this, which I would like to draw attention, that as you could see in our balance sheet, probably our inventory has increased about 100 crore rupees because the works which are having some milestones couldn't be completed up to that extent and the inventory got generated. That is called work in progress. At certain places we have put the material on, at certain places we have done the partial work and milestone couldn't be achieved. So, you know, that is around 100 crores. If that could have been billed, So that would be the financial year Q4 results would be looking like 184 type of thing as a standalone, not the 84. So this is one of the reasons. The other reason was the West Bengal election. And the election, what happens that once the elections are declared, so all the works of the nature which creates the hindrance in the public life, like digging the roads for laying the sewer, because, you know, we are having a big project of around 780 crores in West Bengal, which mainly have the STPs and the sewer laying works. So sewer laying works need extensive digging in the roads. So in election, the ruling party doesn't want that roads are dug and the public may go against the government's verdict, government's favor, with the reason that the public should not feel inconvenient. So the work is stopped. That is a general practice before election of any state. So from there only we were expecting minimum 70-80 crore rupees revenue in the quarter, with the reason that has a 780 crore rupees project, 500 something crores is the project for the capex work, and we have to complete this work in 6 quarters. So around 70-80 crores per quarter had to be done, which was hindered, and we could only do for 20 crore rupees work. So that is a shortfall. Some issue of bitumen supply was also seen after this West Asia disturbance in Uttarakhand also, where we have done the restoration of work of roads up to the subgrade level, and that is of course not a milestone. We could have built the amount once the bituminous layer is laid on the road for the restoration. So that was a drawback. Third thing is the government has changed the payment system from the state and central government alliance. There is a new portal now in the capital of every state which ensures the share of the central government and the state government. So that is internal payment system. So that is called SPARSH, and that is taking its gestation period, and payments are still not normal because central government has to put the share, and the state government has to put the pro rata share, whatever is the share of the state government. Then the payments can be made. So that is a common escrow type of account that is done by the treasury of the Reserve Bank of India. So that is the third reason. And there were certain issues which were related to the heavy, rainfall in particularly in Uttarakhand area, where the property, the lines of the, transmission lines got damaged, and restoration work had to be done first, and then after we were allowed to dig the roads. So these are the factors which happens in civil engineering. I mean, this is sometimes three, four years this cycle comes and that happens. So that is our reasoning for so low revenue collection in this FY26 Q4 particularly, and which impacted the FY26, the whole year's result. So that is from my side, and I think now the people can ask question and answers.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to withdraw yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handset while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. A reminder to all participants, you may press star and one to ask questions. A reminder to all participants, you may press star and one to ask questions. The first question is from the line of Atul Kumar, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Thanks for the opportunity and also explaining the reason for fall in Q4 revenue and also the profit. So, my question was, if all those reasons, let's say, would not have happened, what sort of top line and bottom line you would have expecting in Q4 at consolidated level?
Sorry, couldn't get exactly the question. What I...
Sir, am I audible?
That would have been, I think, of the order of 250-240 crores, because 100 crore we have increased the inventory, that directly adds into 84 crore, that becomes 184 crore. Okay. And some restoration works we couldn't do, particularly of the road restoration work, so that could be again 30-40 crores. And West Bengal elections had affected, as I told you, that could another add 50 crores minimum. So it could have been 250 crores crossed.
Okay, sir. And also, then margin number also would have looked better. Right now, I think at console level, it's 15%.
Exactly. Margin,
that would also have been better.
Yeah, got it. Margin is basically a pseudo figure which is being reflected with the reason that suppose there are works going on different sites. So our total cost of, establishment cost, watch and ward cost, and there are certain costs which are included in the tender conditions, like restorations of the work which comes into dilapidated condition after rainy season or something. So we had to deploy the capital, and in return we couldn't get anything. So that is the reason that this margin is looking. So basically this margin doesn't carry much meaning in case of the civil engineering project. Once the whole inventory is clear and every unbilled bill is done, then margin will again come to 16-17% or minimum 15% in coming quarters. Say it may take to restore everything for the 2 or 3 quarters. Till next year, FY27, we will be able to control all the damage and to restore the things which is seen on the balance sheet and on the margins, etc. I think I am able to answer the things.
Okay, sir. Okay. And also, sir, the effective tax for the Q4, it comes around 60%. Is there a reason that that is obnoxiously very high?
Can you please speak up, sir? We could not hear you properly.
Okay, sir, I was saying the effective tax for Q4 also comes at around 61%. Is there a reason the effective tax is that high in this quarter? And I think that is lowering the net profit just to 6 crore.
Are you talking about the standalone basis or consolidated figure?
The consolidated basis, the tax rate.
Yeah, we'll just have a look.
And I'm talking just about Q4, not the whole year.
No, sir, I think the tax figure would be something about. So the tax.
38 crores.
The tax figure is 38 crores. Against a revenue of about 732 crores. So that comes out to near by about
534?
Yes.
No, sir, I'm talking just about Q4, not the whole year. And also at console level.
Just Q4?
Yes.
Okay, just give us a moment. So in that also, the against a revenue of 120 crores, the tax is about 4.30 crores for current tax.
Okay, sir, I'll check. Like maybe if I have misread something, so I'll check.
That comes out to be about 7%. Yeah.
Okay, okay. Also, sir, at current stage, like after Q4, what is the order book that we have, like unexecuted order book that we are starting FY27 with, and what sort of top line we are expecting? Earlier, I think in earlier conference calls, we have given a guidance of roughly increasing at a rate of, growing at a rate of 30%. So could you share you know, some details on what top lines and bottom lines you're expecting for the coming year?
Yeah, so the order book is as on 31st March 2026, the order book stood at 1837 crores of unexecuted work. After that, we have received orders of about 209 crores from UP Jal Nigam in Varanasi. And within this month, three more tenders are expected to be finalized there. And considering that the rate that we bid for are similar to the ones that we secured, we are quite hopeful of turning those bids into work orders. Apart from that, almost about 2,500 to 3,000 crores of tenders are in pipeline that we are bidding for in Delhi Jal Board, and also some projects in Maharashtra. We are hopeful of securing work in excess of about 1,500 crores this year. That is our plan. And considering that, since the typical timeline for completion of work is about 2 to 3 years, against a work order of about 3,000 odd crores, we should be able to target a revenue of about one third of that, about 1,000 odd crores. So that is the plan.
Okay. Okay, and also, sir, in your earlier response, you said that we should get back to the normal range of EBITDA margin of 15%. But in past, sir, you have done 25%.
We are talking about PAT margins, not EBITDA. EBITDA would be
the PAT margin of 15%.
Yes.
Okay, sir, great. Okay. And also, sir, if you are targeting 1,000, that means in FY25, we have done about 1,000 crore top line, 966 to be precise. So you're saying in 27 also we are targeting 1,000. So is it like, it is just the growth from FY26, but if we look back one more year, we have already done 1,000 crore of top line. So, like, are we being conservative in giving the target, or can you throw some light on that?
Because we are navigating some troubled waters as far as geostrategic conditions in the world, or the funding that is deployed by government in the sector. See, all the work that we carry out is dependent upon funding being released by the government on timely manner. So, since there has been some delay on their part, so the pressure can be seen or on balance sheet also.
Okay. So that would be all from my side. Thanks for taking the question. If there are more, I'll get back in the case. Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all participants, you may press star and one to ask questions. Next question is from the line of Azhar, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Okay, first of all, thank you for giving me the opportunity to ask you the question. So I just have a couple of questions. So firstly, if we look at earnings call Q2 that was held on 14th Feb, and the commitment was, rather, I asked this question if the company is facing any balance sheet stress or you need any funds in near term. The answer was that we don't have any stress on the balance sheet. Just 10 days later, I see this earnings filed that you are raising funds up to 300 crores, not probably up to 300 crores. And also, to the another question was said that there is a plan of reducing pledge. Just 5 days after we received the exchange filing, that 4.5 lakh shares were pledged to Tata AIG, which were later released, but then that has been increased. So then go back to Q2. We grew in Q2. And it was said that we will cover some base, loss base in Q3. In Q3, obviously, that rain and landslides happened in Dehradun, and we were expecting revenue from Dehradun. That didn't work out well. So I asked this question that FY26 is a goner. So what is our plan for FY27? Do we see ourselves outpassing FY25? We did somewhere around 1,000 crores in FY25. And the commitment was yes, and we'll recover some lost ground in Q4. Right? If we look at Q1, FY26, the commitment was to bring the pledge to almost zero by the end of FY26. That didn't happen. I just want to understand, why do we have these misinformation or, you know, on every con call? Because it doesn't make sense. I mean, it doesn't draw a nice picture that when we are having holding an earnings call, we are committing something, but happening within a week, within a fortnight, is completely different. That doesn't boost the investor confidence. That actually shadows the company image of giving fake commitments.
Yeah, sorry for that, sir. But as far as our commitment for delivering growth is concerned, see, all the commitments were given earnestly with true intent. But since our performance is also dependent on payment,
I'm sorry to interrupt there. But how can I plan that I don't have any fund requirement for next 6 months, and then within 10 days of holding earnings call, I hold the board meeting and pass the resolution to raise up to 300 crores.
Sir, that was just a permission from the board that we took. We did not act on it. So it's a resolution that is valid for 1 year. We just had it passed in the board, so that in case any eventuality arrives, we do not have to go back to the board. But we assure you that now we don't have any plan to raise any funds right now. In case we secure a large hand project in which capital is required to be pumped in by the company, then we might go for that. Apart from that, for regular EPC projects, we do not intend to raise any funds.
Very good. Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. And when in Q1 FY26 earnings call, we had committed that we'll bring down the pledge by the end of FY26, it is only increased since. And within 10 days of last quarter's earnings call, we again pledged 4.5 lakh shares on 10th of March to Tata AIG.
Sir, I think there might be some confusion there. If you will check the latest filings by the company, the pledge numbers have been reducing relatively steadily, and by end of next year, it will be zero.
To be honest, it is mind-boggling. I want to be very sober in stating my question, but it is mind-boggling that whatever commitments we are making quarter after quarter, we are, like, for example, if we look at Q4, in Q3 we said that there were landslides and we have the visibility in Q4. That was already a month and a half past, and we have the visibility that, okay, Q4 will be softer, but it will be relatively better than Q3. Forget about last year's Q4. It is worse than QOQ. It is worse YOY. We have, having that visibility, being in the quarter for a month and a half, I mean, I do not understand why is it so difficult being transparent.
Sir, please let me be clear. We cannot force government's hand. If government does not give permission to excavate roads, we cannot work there. we were expecting to get permission since we were constantly being told by our employer, which is Kolkata Municipal Corporation, that please deploy the site, mobilize on the site, deploy all machinery, and you are required to take execute the work by this quarter. But since when we deployed the machinery on site, citing non-clearance of permissions, we are not allowed to work. And now we cannot force government side.
I totally understand that, sir. That is not my point. My point is that if it, I can understand it as a business practice that certain unforeseen circumstances happen. But I can understand that being happening on a quarter basis or, you know, they happen rarely. I cannot understand the misconnection there being after every quarter, because whenever we are holding earnings call, we are already in the quarter for a month or in some cases month and a half. We have that visibility. We had it in Q2, we had it in Q3. I can understand at this point in time you face the backlash from the elections that were happening in Kolkata. That's fine. I can understand that. But I cannot understand that this disconnect happening every quarter. Either it is this or...
Sir, what can I say? It has been a perfect storm. We are trying to navigate it, and our effort is sincere. And
coincidentally, it all happened.
Sir, may I also ask that in last quarter, that is Q3.
Sir. Yeah. Sorry to interrupt, sir. Can you please rejoin the queue for follow-up question?
Sure.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Mr. Ajay, an individual investor. Before that, a reminder to all participants, please press star and one to ask questions.
So I want to follow up on the last question that the investor asked. Hello?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, so I want to follow up on the last question that the investor asked. It is a perfect storm, as you said, happening every quarter after quarter. Let us give you that. Now, can you tell me that in Q3, we lost some revenue. We were expecting to build some revenue from Dehradun. And because of the landslides and everything, we postponed it. So can you tell me, like, what was the revenue lost in Dehradun? And did we bill for the lost revenue in Q3 from Uttarakhand?
So, sir, what I can tell you is, not the exact numbers, but somewhere around 50-odd crores of work is lying finished, waiting to be built in Dehradun.
So that will, you are expecting that to be built in Q1 FY27?
Yes.
And what is the total amount of number that we are expecting to garner from Q1 from Uttarakhand?
From Uttarakhand, that would be somewhere in excess of that.
Okay. And and because there has been delay from the West Bengal, do you think we can bill some amount from West Bengal in Q1 FY27?
Yeah. What we are facing there is, since the government has changed, there has been some shuffling in the department transfers. And as soon as, I think within 10 to 15 days, the new officials join, then we can progress and start executing them.
One last question on the margin structure. Like, if I look at margins, we were operating at, operating margin of somewhere around 22 to 25%. You know, we can't actually compare that with this quarter when the revenue has been, you know, more than 50% down. But at an operating level, operating margins level, where we traditionally operated between 25 to 30, so 25 being, median over there, what do we see FY27 operating at as an operating margin level?
So what we are targeting is upwards of profit after tax of 15%.
Oh, so you're talking about EBIT of 15%. So that would be operating
margin. Not EBITDA. EBITDA would be somewhere around, so 21% EBITDA we have already achieved in 25-26. We will try to rectify it and raise it to about 25%.
So we are saying operating margin of roughly around 25% for FY27 and PBT of somewhere around 15%.
Profit after tax, not PBT.
Okay, PAT of somewhere around 15%, right?
Yes, sir.
And what we have as in guidance that we did somewhere around 970 crores FY27, FY26 is a washout, but we will probably surpass FY25 figures, that is 950 crores in FY27, right?
Almost similar.
And okay, sir, any visibility that you have for Q1 revenue ballpark where it could land?
Yes, sir. As our CEO sir has already said, we are still recovering, and I don't think the numbers would be too good, but we are trying to improve on that.
As far as
Q1 is concerned.
So you're expecting to outpace the growth in second phase of the coming year because you're still recovering for the next quarter.
As soon as these things stabilize,
and one last humble submission from my end and one last request from my end is, you know, business up cycles and down cycles happen, but we shouldn't feel underconfident ourselves, and it doesn't take much to be transparent, and we should actually hold, you know, our corporate practices and investor practices and transparency to investors to highest regards. That is the only request that I would submit over here.
Yeah, sure, sir. Thank you.
Next question is from the line of Atul Kumar, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Thanks for the opportunity again. Sir, I was looking at your past numbers, and so I was looking at your past numbers, and if I see your trend from 2020 to financial year 2025, your top line has grown from around 300 levels to 326 to 966, so roughly three times. And that would be like roughly 25% CAGR, so which has been impressive in past. Since now we are saying that in FY27, we are giving a guidance of what we achieved in FY25. That's okay because 2026 is a washout, so we know it takes like some time to get back to the road again. But so if one has to understand the view of the management and the company, how we are looking 2, 3, 4 years outward. So what sort of CAGR we should be expecting? Is it that we were thinking to go back to that 25% CAGR kind of range, or is it more, is it less? So any kind of color you can shed on that, so it will be really great. So if I, let's say, from here, if I have to think about, like we roughly know FY27, but if I have to think of how are we going to progress towards FY2030, so like if any sort of
that would be great. Yeah, in the long run, if the figures till 2030 or further are to be given a guidance for, I think we can hope to achieve somewhere around 20-25% growth over the long run.
Okay, so maybe from FY25.
I would like to add something in for the answer of your question. That in civil engineering industry, particularly once it is government driven or is dependent on the government funding, what happens that any 1 year or two or some quarters can go with surprisingly low revenues and profits. You see, our company was incorporated in 2013 full shape, 2013. And till 2019, we tripled our revenue, you know, from something 107 to 320 crore or so. Yeah. And again, from 2019 to 2025, in 6 years, we have again tripled our revenue. So if you see the 12-year graph or two graphs of 6 years, from 2013 to 2019 and from 2019 to 2025, it is flat 20% growth in terms of CAGR. Although in FY22, we were down from FY21. And similarly, if we can project and foresee, we are down in FY26 from FY25. But definitely, if we look for 2030, the 5-year or 6-year 31, that the CAGR will be maintained at 20%. That is our organic growth. And with the setback due to unprecedented conditions which happened this financial year, we foresee that we will be able to maintain it. Say 25-30% growth from this figure of 26, that will touch around 25 figure. And then if we maintain it more than 25% and for 4-5 years, then it will be flat 20% in further 5-6 years. So that is the target always remains with a industry like us. But 1 year should not disappoint us, and we have the sufficient reasons. Maybe that investors are thinking that the figures are looking on paper, they are looking very disappointing. But if you have the reason behind everything, then of course, you know, you can very well calculate. We as a management can very well calculate that after 4-5 years, if you see the figure of 2030, this will again be a 20% CAGR from 2013 to 2030. That is what I think you are trying to, and I'm able to answer your question. Thank you so much.
Yeah, sir. Actually, that was the intention behind asking that question, that historically we have seen a very good growth. So, of course, like 1 year can be a washout, it's understandable, but that's why it was more on the horizon, that how are we thinking to go ahead from here. And also, I mean, once you give such kind of answers, right, it will be easy for investors community to take this 1 year as a bygone and then look forward and see how we are progressing. And of course, assess you on your guidance again. So one last question I have, like you mentioned that we are into mostly into government projects. So, do we have any plans to sort of, let's say, next 1 or 2 or 3 or 4 years to diversify our work area so that the dependence is reduced from government? And second, sir, I also see in shareholding, right? Currently we don't have FIIs, VIIs. So do you have any kind of investor meetings or plan to kind of pitch our company and growth plan and then get more institutional investor on board to your company in, let's say, 1-3 years? So if you can share some details on that, that will be helpful, sir. Yeah.
Okay, as far as diversification is concerned, what I could get is diversification. You mean to say that we are going to diversify from government sector to private sector? That is one diversification. And other diversification you may mean that from water supply and water sewerage sector to another sectors.
Client diversification, okay, as well as business. Maybe let's say getting into, okay, power, because there are a lot of projects going into power and there,
yes,
private players,
yes,
are,
yes,
also there.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I would like to answer for this, that there is a tremendous and huge scope in water supply and sewage treatment sector of the urban India. It's a huge, tremendous. We are just 1% of the work we are able to do as far as pan-India scope is concerned. So we are not going to diverge from the government sector as of now. We are not planning. And from the water sector also, we are doing 70-75% business from the water sector, which is likely to continue. We are bidding rigorously in the water sector, and about 3,000 crore rupees bids are in pipeline. And soon, depending upon the data and how we bid, how we select the bidding condition, we are looking for at least 300-400 crore rupees potential of winning the bids in this month or in the coming month. So the sector is, we are not going to leave the sector. We are not going to diversify. And as far as clients are concerned, we are already working in 7 states, and that is Housing and Urban Development Ministry's projects, that is Amrit projects, and, Namami Gange projects. So let us tell you that we work only in urban sector, and we don't work in rural sectors like Jal Jeevan Mission or Swachh Bharat Mission. And because we don't need to diversify, because there is a tremendous thing. What happened this year, again, I will have to emphasize that change in the government system, some payment delayed due to some West Station disturbance, some Amrit projects, they were delayed in payment. If the payment is delayed from the government, what happens? We are unable to further pay it to our subcontractors. And ultimately, the work is stopped. So that becomes a big reason. So continuous payment supply is the very, very essential of our business. And once the subcontractor is not paid and labor leaves the site, you just visualize it. Labor leaves the site. Say there are 400, 500 people which work on a project. Suppose they leave the site. What happens to rearrange them, to reassure them? It takes a month or month and a half to re-engage them. And the pupil of the area also get disturbed because, you know, we have dug the road and we are not restoring due to lack of labor. So it's a very rigorous cycle to work on the sewerage things. And that is why so many big companies are now not into the digging of the, you know, sewer. They are working on STPs, they are working on WTPs, but they are not working on, sewer laying. So this goes like that in civil engineering sometimes. It is certain times, it is luck dependent also. But the management, the company is of the view that we will in long term give the CAGR of 20%. May not be able to give this year, but, if we even catch the FY25 figures in FY27, even then we will have to raise by 30% from FY26 or even more than 40% we will have to raise. So we will do that. But next year if we raise by 25-27%, then average will be of 20% we will achieve in 2-4 years. So that's it about this. Not a need to diversify from the government sector, okay. Not need to diversify as far as the water sector is concerned. Thank you so much.
Okay, sir. And also, the second part of my question was, like, are you planning to onboard institutional investors anytime near?
With institutional investors, we keep on meeting through roadshows in Mumbai. Actually, there are certain projects which we were looking and we are looking for. They are HAM projects in which, 60% is... you are asking that why the institutional investors have not purchased our shares or they are not holding our shareholding is not there. So initially that was there, no? Initially they were there, but our share rose to, 1,000 rupees per share, 900 plus. Then they have exited. Mm-hmm. So they were having shares. Mm.
Okay, sir. Thanks for patiently answering our question, and I'll just say that we are trusting your words from here, and I echo the same sentiment that other two individual investors requested. So let's be transparent in disclosing the numbers, our plan, and let's work together to see where it goes. Thank you, sir.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, participants. You may press star and want to ask questions. Participants, you may press star and want to ask questions. As there are no further questions, I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Ashish Tomar, Promoter and Managing Director, for closing comments.
Yeah, I would like to thank everyone for attending this earnings call, and would like to reassure our investors that we are sincerely putting in our best efforts to get back on the track and would deliver the growth that we promise. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of EMS Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for your participation, and you may now disconnect your lines.